The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio
X. A very warm welcome to the Evening Show podcast for Radio X. I'm Gordon Smart. I hope you're very well. Producer Vin's here. All right, Producer Vin?
All right.
I'm very good. I really like your trainers today.
Oh, thanks, mate.
That's kind of more definitely up my street, Adidas Gazelles.
Adidas, they're Hamburgs.
They're Hamburgs, right.
Slightly cheaper.
Do you know the danger of wearing Adidas Gazelles in Edinburgh?
Go on.
If you wear the wrong colour, it indicates your sexuality.
Oh, is that a thing?
That is a thing in Edinburgh.
So you might end up in Cannon Mills rather than on George Street.
I'm surprised you don't know that, considering you lived there for 3 years.
5 years, mate.
Oh, five years?
Also, I'm coming up in a few weeks. I told you that, yeah. Didn't I?
Should we get a pair of red gazelles and go for a wander around Picardy Place and see what happens, just to test the theory?
Can't wait.
Maybe not. Well, test the theory on the podcast today. Lots of great stuff for you. The Evening Show has been a busy revolving door of famous faces. Ed Sheeran, the wonderful Ed Sheeran, who is flying high in the charts right now, was on the show. And also the Canadian comedian, Catherine Ryan, who is always worth a laugh.
There's a little tiny clip of Lord. Oh. I put a little clip of Lord in.
I've told you about this. Said you've crossed the line now, Vin. It's getting a bit creepy.
One day. I'll wait.
That sounded even more
threatening. Yeah, it sounded weird.
It's all right, though. I won't tell anybody next time she's in. Right, enjoy the Evening Show podcast. It's a pleasure having your company. See what you think.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio
X. Catherine Ryan's in the studio. Actually, an extra pair of hands, Catherine. Have you often clapped yourself?
I'm a good audience.
Do you love the sound of applause?
No.
Catherine, it's been, 4 years since you last came in and said hello, maybe 5 years. Yeah. I don't know if you remember, but we had Arnold Schwarzenegger on the same show.
I don't remember that.
You don't remember that? It's been a busy 4 years, though, hasn't it, for you? You've had a great, great run of it.
Mm-hmm. Things have been going okay.
Yeah, because you think when you came in last, you'd started appearing on 8 out of 10 Cats, I think, and things had just really taken off for you. And now you're doing a series about how rich people are, but you must be filthy rich now, after 4 years being a comedian.
No, I'm not filthy rich. I'm as rich as I ever imagined I would be, meaning I can get a taxi if I want to, or I can get takeaway if I want to. But those are the things that, I mean, were beyond my wildest dreams when I was starting out in London, so.
You've got a lovely fetching pair of Rihanna Puma, what I would describe as flip-flops.
They're Rihanna Puma slides.
Slides?
Slides. They're basically what Rob Kardashian has to wear 24/7 because no other shoes fit him.
You know, I just remembered as well, you got a column off the back of your last appearance in a newspaper. Do you remember that? Yeah, you did very well out of that.
Well, see, this is the thing with Arnold Schwarzenegger on the show last time and me and columns, is I really struggle not to give my unfiltered opinion. And when I was starting out, I had some very strong opinions about celebrities, and I'm afraid I've had to pull some of those back.
Have you?
Well, it gets you into trouble because now I have the life where I do meet some of those people, and then I'm like, oh, sorry, Piers Morgan, you know.
Don't apologise to Piers Morgan. You can say whatever you like about him. Yeah. But the last time you were in as well, you just finished a car boot sale because you were raising funds to impress your daughter's school. I think she was just about to go from nursery to primary school.
Yep.
Hope that's gone well. And if it hasn't, can we just ask another question?
Yeah.
She got in?
Oh, she's in the school, but I've given up on fundraising. See, I like to alienate all the other mums so that I don't have to participate in the cake sales, boot sales, that type of thing.
Right. Just write a check. Throw it at them.
Why don't they have that option?
Yeah. They should do, shouldn't they? It makes sense. It would cut out a lot of bad baking. Yeah. And salmonella from schools, possibly.
Exactly.
How is your daughter, by the way? Violet, isn't she?
Yeah, Violet's really well. Thank you for asking about her.
Would you like to make her sound cool with her friends at school and talk about her lots and say she's brilliant?
I think that she's coolest the less I do that. So she likes it when I can hook her up. She met Mel and Sue the other day comic relief, which is, of course, kicking off. Yeah. And she loves Mel and Sue. She has pictures of Little Mix, meet and greets on the wall. And, amazing. I mean, that's all you can do as a mom. But I'm not cool. An endorsement from me means nothing to her.
Is she aware of your fame now?
Get a real job. Yeah, some of the other kids will say, oh, my mummy was watching your mummy's Netflix special, and she said, I had to go to bed early because I was not to hear any of the naughty words, so thanks.
Oh.
You know, it doesn't work for her yet.
How does she describe your job? Have you heard her doing that?
No, she's old enough now. Like, she's 7.5 going on 17.5.
Yeah.
So she knows exactly what I do. She's really cool and smart and calm.
Yeah.
She knows I'm a comedian. She knows I tell jokes. But she doesn't think that it's a redeeming career path. But yeah. Whatever.
Does she find you funny? That's the most important thing.
No.
Oh, no.
She thinks that I'm cool and nice. She has a wonderful life, but she certainly rolls her eyes a lot. She doesn't think I'm funny. She's into YouTubers opening toys.
Yeah, what is that all about?
I don't know.
I've just been on a trip with a guy who eats dead things from the road, who's got about 4 million followers on YouTube. Fun Louie or something he's called.
He sounds fun.
Yeah. I used to do that when I was a student.
No, you
nobody
didn't.
Gave me 4 million followers.
You didn't do that.
Well, I used to eat from chippies in Edinburgh, which is the same thing.
Okay.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio X.
Can you tell us a little story about the worst gig you've done in the last 4 years or so?
Oh, there are so many. There are so many. I don't mind
really?
Tackling. Well, yeah. Yeah.
But you just went out and it was no bother now and people just wanted you to do brilliantly.
No, it's really nice when you're on tour because then presumably most of the audience have come to see you on purpose.
Yeah.
Your name's on the ticket. They know something about you already. Just bad things. Oh, in Edinburgh last August, a man passed out and people thought he was just drinking. So as he started falling from the raised seating, people were kind of pushing him as he was falling into them because they didn't know any better. But he turned out to be okay, thank goodness.
Yeah.
And then heckling, I don't mind because you can kind of use it and have almost a chat. Sometimes it's really funny. But it's when they turn their backs to you and have their own conversations and you're just like, oh gosh. And then I opened for Frankie Boyle recently for this Christmas sweater gig. And I looked out in the crowd and it was all lads, hashtag lads, in these Christmas jumpers, drinking at noon, waiting for Frankie Boyle. And I became the only thing standing in between them and a good time. And I was not funny on that day. They really, really needed me to leave.
Oh, no. So what do you do? I mean, do you cut the gig short? Do you just think, I'll get through this? Or do you just ride with it? And
I mean, in the beginning, I would have made sure to do my time because I wanted to follow the rules and I needed to get paid.
Yeah.
Now, I just wouldn't put people through that.
Yeah.
So on the Frankie Boyle gig in particular, I think you have to know when you're beaten.
Yeah.
And I looked around. Frankie was at the side of the stage. He was ready to go. And I was like, all right, everybody, that's the end of me. Here's Frankie Boyle. Yeah. And then what's the worst thing that can happen? I just don't feel like people need any more misery in their lives. They come to a comedy gig. If they're not having a good time, let's stop it for them.
Yeah.
Give them Frankie. And they loved him. So did I.
The last time you came in, you gave me a list of about 7 brilliant female comedians coming through. Do you get a chance to see much these days? And do you have any other tips for us while you're here?
Oh my gosh, I do not get to see much. I love Jane Addams, Lauren Pattison, Lolly Adefope. Of course, Tiff Stevenson is one of my really good friends. She's not exactly coming through. Tanya Edwards. There are so many. I could like go on and on, but a lot of us are working and it's the double-edged sword of feminism. We don't often get put on the same gig, so we don't see each
other. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio
X. The Evening Show. Classic album of the week. X.
Right, so every Monday night we delve into a classic album in the show and just look a little bit deeper under the surface of what it was all about. And I can't quite believe this, right? But in 2006, January 2006, over 11 years ago, Arctic Monkeys released their debut album, Whatever People Say I Am, That's What I'm Not. It does seem like a long time ago to me now, right? Over a decade ago. Because at the time, it really was a massive injection in the arm of the rock and roll scene, I think, in this country. It was such a blast of fresh air and it was much needed. Alex Turner just announcing himself on the world as one of the finest lyricists as a teenager, and revealing one of Sheffield's finest bands at the same time. It was a really special moment. So Alex Turner, Jamie Cookie Cook, Andy Nicholson on bass, who later left the band, and Matt Helders. And we should always point out that Matt Helders' dad listens to the show regularly. Evening, Clive. Hope you're having a good night. Right, so the album title, Whatever People Say I Am, That's What I'm Not, it came from Alan Stilito's book, Saturday Night and Sunday Morning, which is basically what the album's all about. Witty, snarling, honest portrayal of a normal night out up in Sheffield, or any other northern town for that matter. If you came from anywhere north of Manchester, this album felt like it was talking to you. But I think producer Vince here, and I think a man from the southeast would even find something that resonated in the lyrics that Alex Turner was writing.
Oh, definitely, yeah. It's just so honest, isn't it?
Yeah, it's brilliant. I mean, to have a command of the English language in such a beautiful style and to deliver it in such a wonderful way really was a masterclass at that age.
But it's also great to hear an album that's about going out, about having a night in the toils, but it isn't about, you know, being up in the club.
Yeah.
It's about the fight at the taxi rank.
Exactly, the riot van turning up to pick up the naughty boys. But on that note as well, the way they got the brilliant album sleeve, which is just a random picture of a northern bloke having on a fag. It's Chris McClure, who is John McClure from Reverend and the Maker's brother. And the band did a clever thing. They just gave them 70 quid and said, go and have a night out in Liverpool, take some pictures. And that's where the wonderful picture came from. There's a great picture as well of an ashtray just overflowing with fags.
Oh, on the back cover, yeah.
There's a real excitement about them playing live. And I remember them doing Brixton Academy around that time, very early on, and a huge, huge turnout for that. People being turned away at the door. The singles were I Bet You Look Good in the Dance Floor, When the Sun Goes Down, aka Scummy Man, and Fake Tales of San Francisco. But my favourite songs on the album were things like Riot Van, which just became this beautiful bit of poetry, almost like a bedtime lullaby for bad behaviour from anybody in the north. But the music as well, what an amazing sound it had. I mean, that first track, A View from the Afternoon, is one of the best introductions for any album. I can't think of many more, actually. Definitely Maybe's probably got an equally punchy start, but there was definitely a little nod to Oasis when they first arrived in the scene, with loads of energy in the sound. And Alex Turner's lyricism, I've touched on it a wee bit already, but it's just amazing stuff. Montagues and Capulets, Ringtones and Angry Bouncers, what, Bingo Daubers, all that kind of stuff is all Dancing Like a Robot in a 1984 disco, something like that. But it's just clever, funny, quick-witted, absolutely brilliant. Right, let's get on with this. Play some of it. Two songs back to back from the Arctic Monkeys debut album, Whatever People Say I Am, That's What I'm Not. Kicking us off though, this is the opening track, The View from the Afternoon.
The Evening Show, Classic Album of the Week.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio X.
The Evening Show. Classic Album of the Week. X.
I loved every second of that. Two songs back to back from the Arctic Monkeys and their debut album, Whatever People Say I Am, That's What I'm Not. Every Monday night and evening show, classic albums. Arctic Monkeys, They're a Certain Romance. What a song that is. It appeared in Enemy's list of the top 100 tracks of the decade. It was described as a strangely even-handed song, which starts off scorning local townies, then appears to absolve them at the end of the song. It's a beautiful finish to an album. In fact, the start and the finish. It works beautifully as an entire piece of music, which I don't think albums do enough of these days, frankly. We're of the generation where you pick one song and move on. So yeah, special moment 2004. Then The View from the Afternoon as well. Anticipation is a habit to set you up for disappointment in evening entertainment. What a way to start an album. Brilliant. Especially an album with loads and loads of hype, because there was a lot of pressure on their shoulders at the time. Some spotty lads from Sheffield straight out of the steel mills, and they delivered the goods. The tune highlights the incredible drumming of Matt Helders as well. A man who I think is a little bit overlooked. He's one of the greatest musicians the country's produced for the last decade, and he's recognised. It's always a sign with drummers when the hip hop world recognises them as very talented. He's always being dragged into supergroups to make appearances because he's a very talented boy, and I admire anybody who can sing and play the drums at the same time, because that is the ultimate sign of coordination. Battling guitars in a moment of silence that terrifies radio presenters worldwide as well. Every time that song comes on, the pause makes us panic and reach for the faders. Finn, you a fan?
Oh, what a fan. What
That's
a fan.
Right up your street as well. What, you're 25, 26 now, so you were
coming
of age album.
I remember buying it, and I remember running home and sticking it on the on the sound system downstairs in my mum and dad's living room. Yeah, and listening to the whole thing all the way through.
But as a Croydon boy, did you understand what he was talking about?
Well, that's sort of what I was saying earlier, that it doesn't matter where you're from. It's still, you've all been on those nights out, and there's been, you know, a queue at the kebab shop, and then a fight outside the taxi rank and all of that.
Yeah,
I bet. And, you know, people not getting in because they're wearing the wrong shoes. And it just speaks to you. It's just
perfect.
Honest.
It's perfect. And those lyrics in Riot Van, I have to say, if it had been poetry, it would have been published on that alone. Excellent stuff. Right, we're going to keep classic albums going every Monday night in the evening show. Why don't you suggest some others that we can look into at Radio X or 83936 on text. We'll be doing that again next Monday.
The Evening Show, Classic Album of the Week. X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio X.
The man of the moment, Mr. Ed Sheeran, is back with us. How are you doing, Ed?
Hello. A big round of applause here.
Huge audience. See that?
Two-man clap.
Yeah, three man clap. It's like that gig in Exeter all those years ago.
Yeah, of course.
How have you been since the last time I saw you?
Good. Yeah, just trying to fit in every country.
But
very, very well. Nice to be back.
Last time I saw you, you told me about encephalitis. This time you've got a little bit of man flu, so I prepared a little Scottish.
Thank you very much.
Medicine.
Copper dog. There
it's
you go.
A proper hot toddy for you, right? It's a little bit of lemon, a little bit of runny honey.
That's usually what we do on tour. Usually after the show, though.
Yeah,
I'll just mainline that.
I meant to ask you about that. How has your rider developed over the years? You know, when you started off, it was probably salt and vinegar squares. What's on it now? Anything extravagant?
I always ketchup. I have to have ketchup on there.
Heinz ketchup, of course.
Yeah, not Daddy's. Sorry, Daddy. not really. Do you know what? In America, I had a portable bar built by the promoter as a present, which has speakers in it. So that's always got all the alcohol I need in it. So I don't really need anything before a show, apart from food from catering. And then after the show, there's just the bar.
Yeah, then nothing weird.
Well, I used to always say the best film you've seen in the last month was on my rider, but I got like 14 copies of the Notebook, and I was like, I should probably just stop this.
That lacks imagination, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's a good film, but...
Yeah, you know, that good.
Yeah.
I once interviewed Ozzy Osbourne with a stinking hangover, and he told me that...
You had a hangover,
I think we probably both did. He's a man that knows his way around the hangover, isn't he, after all? And he said, what I should do is put brown paper in my shoes. So I went off, right? I went off and bought brown paper and put it in my shoes. Next time I saw him, I said, that was rubbish. He went, I know, I was winding you up. But what is... I'm walking around with brown paper.
That's amazing.
What is the routine that Ed Sheeran goes through to solve his Brit Awards hangover?
Well, this year I was up at like 5 to fly to Germany, so that was, I was just straight in it. But usually, flat Coke or flat Sprite usually works well. I used to think McDonald's did, but that's a really bad idea. Domino's,
yeah,
maybe cold Domino's.
That's sort of so. How were your Brits parties this year? I noticed you were a bit more restrained than you were a couple of years ago.
Yeah. do you know what? That I was very, very aware of that as well. Yeah. So I was definitely trying to behave myself. But yeah, it was good. I had more fun at the Brits in my dressing room though, because after me and Stormzy finished, we were the kind of penultimate act, so we went straight back to the dressing room with all of his crew and all of my crew, and drunk a lot of champagne, ate a lot of pizza, and I was going to go home from there, and I thought, let me just see what the after party's saying. And I think I arrived too late, and it was that, you know, when a certain point of the night when people just start getting a bit rude. I was like, yeah. So I left quite quickly. I met Simon from Biffy, who I'd never met before.
Great,
and
man.
I didn't realise that he was a fan of my music, because I've been a fan of his music for a while. So we had a nice chat. Something I don't really know. I wasn't there long enough. I literally arrived, said hi to him, had a couple of drinks, and then went. That was pretty much it.
Sounds like a much more sensible night than the last Brits experience. Ed's going to stick around. This is Kings of Leon now in the evening show with Find Me. More from Ed Sheeran in a second.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio X.
We were just chatting about the Brits after parties. I was very proud to see the gentlemanly act as well for your girlfriend. I thought chivalry might be dead in the younger generation, Ed, but you gave her your trainers.
Yeah.
Maybe the shoes were a bit much by the end of the night. That was very kind of you to do that.
Do you know what? That a lot of people think that was set up as well. It was,
really?
Yeah, it was... Yeah, it was definitely like my first instinct, which was just take my shoes off, but also... with shoes, like, because she got gifted those shoes,
nice.
And we were both like, oh wow, like Louboutins, and then they kind of snapped before she'd even really stepped in them. So like, I don't know, not a great advert, is it?
It was a struggle of a night out.
Yeah.
It's one of those things, right? See, for most folk, when they take their missus to a work night out, it's a bit of a gamble. But a work night out, a work night out for you, Ed, it's probably a proper treat. Does she enjoy it? I mean, what's it like being Ed Sheeran's plus one?
She's actually more fun than me at half these things. Like she really like, because she's she works in the city all week and also plays hockey, so she spends a lot of time working. So she can really like really sort of have fun and. I don't know, it's kind of, I don't know if you've got this with your missus, but it's kind of got to a point where people will ask me if I'm coming, and then I'll be like, oh, no, they'll ask me first if she's coming.
Coming, yeah.
Yeah, and then if I say no, they'll be like, all right.
Does she ever let you down, though? Does she ever do the, who are you? Sorry, that's Dave Grohl, or something along those lines.
I did hear a great one from someone that went out for dinner with James Corden all night, and then in the car something was like mentioned. It was James Corden and his wife and these two other people, and in the car something was mentioned, and she was like, "Who's James Corden?" And James Corden was like, "Me. we've just been for dinner for the last 6 hours together."
Yeah, painful one, absolutely painful one. Right, I can't have you in here, Ed, without giving you a Chinese burn and asking you what's happening with Glastonbury.
Okay.
Can you tell me?
I don't know yet.
Blink if you're doing it.
I might be doing another festival, though.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah. Can you tell us which one? No.
No.
Oh, man. See, I was going to come over there and have to sort of shake it out.
No,
you,
I know.
Really aggressive Scottish fashion.
It's one of those things where I would obviously like to be asked first
okay.
before they announce it, but... Sure. Kind of more focused on, I'm doing a big stadium tour next year. That's kind of more what I'm focused on.
Ed Sheeran, wonderful to see you. Thanks for coming on again. Next
Thank
time
you
I see
my
you,
hot toddy as
we
well.
Will be drinking.
Yeah, definitely.
Be man. Thanks, Ed.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio X.
That's Dismissed. Big Mouth strikes again on Radio X. This is The Evening Show with me, Gordon Smart. Over the last few years, there have been some amazing music biopics. Right, Johnny Cash, Walk the Line, it was excellent. Joaquin Phoenix, how about Straight Outta Compton for NWA? And now Morrissey, you've just played Dismissed there, he is getting the same treatment. I'm fascinated about it. I think it'll be brilliant. I didn't actually know this was happening. The film was originally called Stephen after Stephen Patrick Morrissey. I don't think most people would know that's really his name. I mean, it seems mad to me that they didn't call it Morrissey in the first place. He's like Pele or Bono or Sting. Or according to producer Vin, he suggested maybe Kylie or Jordan. They only need one name. That's how important they are. According to filmmaker Orion Williams, the new title will be England Is Mine, which is a great title for a film, and it's a reference to the Smiths' track Still Ill. Remember the lyric, England is mine and it owes me a living. So the film, which has been given the green light by Morrissey, and I tell you what, that must have been a Herculean effort just to get that in the first place, is going to focus on his early years and finish at the point when he first meets the Smiths guitarist and founder, Johnny Marr. And I've just finished Johnny's book, Set the Boy Free, and it's such a magical moment when he finally finds Morrissey, knocks on the door, and they have their first conversation. It's such a special moment in the history of that band and one of the most important bands to come out of Britain. So when that appears in film, it will be magic. Filming has begun. War and Peace actor, you might remember him, Jack Loudon, he is playing Stephen Patrick Morrissey, and it's already started up in Manchester. Cannot wait to see this. There's no release date yet, but it will be coming at some point in the next couple of years. Something to look forward to. Right, so in honour of Morrissey, how about this? This is Suedehead on Radio X.
Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio X.
It's lovely to see you in your Canada Goose jacket. It's almost like you're trying to play the Canada card.
I know. What it is, I was just a little bit chilly and I felt like angering some people in the street.
Disturbing people.
Yeah, people put stickers on me sometimes when I'm wearing that jacket. People from PETA to say that I'm a bad person, yeah. And then I get home and I find the stickers on me.
That you've not noticed these stickers on your back?
Yeah, you're not meant to notice. It just says, like, I'm a... But right. They're right. I don't mind those stickers.
You're nice and warm, though. Apart from wearing flip-flops in the winter. That might cure your coldness.
Listen, I just know how to live the best life. I do what I want. I dress comfortably. And I'm really happy.
Surely a pair of Ugg boots would be, you know, even furrier.
But they're not good for your arch.
I've heard that nonsense before, but they're cozy, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. But Rihanna Puma slides, hey.
Hey,
got a little element of hip-hop in my step.
Yeah, I think I could get a pair. Maybe they'd suit me. Catherine, to get very excited and tell us about your new TV show, How Do You Get Rich?
Oh, my show is on Channel 4 every Monday at 10. It's called How'd You Get So Rich? If you missed Monday's episode, you can watch on demand. It is me charming and disarming millionaires and billionaires all across the world to try to find out how they got their money. Yeah. I go, how much is that? How much money do you have? And they're all self-made, so I really like them. Everybody's, I mean, it's a diverse group of people, but I really got on with them.
But do you really like them?
Most of them I really like.
We're getting closer to the truth. Some of them, I'll say it for you because you can. I found them quite objectionable. So what's his name? Lambo.
Mm.
He was a bit of a rogue, wasn't he? And that's me being diplomatic.
Someone called Lambo?
Yeah.
Was a rogue?
He was a rogue, yes.
And Daniel Lamborghini?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was, I'm trying to find a non-sweary word to describe him. I thought he was a massive... Yeah. Chap.
Playboy.
Yeah, playboy. Yeah, yeah. So when you meet these characters, how difficult is it to be polite?
Easy. It turns out that I am an absolute delight and I get on with anyone. Danny Lambo, Britain's flashiest playboy. He was in our first episode with some other people. He had some questionable ways of meeting women by shouting out of his car with a megaphone, and then he held up signs that said his number, or you know, just different ways to lure women into his car. And that's not something I would do with my day, but I chose to focus on the parts of his business-mindedness that I really appreciate. He made some smart
moves
in the hotel business. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we got on, and you know what? I'm very mothering. And so men like that gravitate towards me, Gordon, and they tell me their story.
you've been very brave in it, I have to say as well, right? Dr. Raj.
Yeah.
Now, he is a Raj where I come from in Scotland because what was he doing? 250 cosmetic operations a year, right? 50 grand a pop, lots of A-list stars. and you very kindly offered up your beautiful visage, you know, I thought, what are you doing? Why are you doing this?
Well, I'm very smart, and he is the best of the best. I wasn't going to miss out an opportunity to get some Dr. Raj work on my face for free.
So I should explain, he gave you, what was it, a lift, a cheek lift?
No.
Sounds wrong as well, doesn't it? He gave you fillers underneath your muscles in your jaw, is that
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so people who are into plastic surgery will know that there are cosmetic procedures that don't involve a knife, and that'll be like filler and Botox. He just put some filler in my jawline. He calls it the Brad Pitt jawline. Yeah. And you should see the befores and afters of this.
But what if it had gone a bit more David Coulthard and you'd ended up like the corner of a... I don't know, a chip box or something like that. It could be a disaster. What'd you say then? And how'd you fix it?
It would have been really good TV, so I would have been fine with it.
Yeah. Joan Rivers made the original, didn't she, in America? What's it like following her footsteps? Because she's not afraid of a bit of plastic surgery either, is she?
Yeah, speaking of surgery, she did an incredible job. I was mindful not to watch too much of her version of the series because we wanted it to have an authentic voice. And, I mean, the trouble of plastic surgery is sometimes... you have too many surgeries and then a younger Canadian girl takes your job.
You got addicted to it in about 30 seconds. I don't know what you're talking about. You were there for more.
Yeah, I am. I want to see Dr. Raj again and again.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
Catherine, have you bought Ed Sheeran's album yet for your daughter? Or for yourself?
Yeah, it's for me.
Yes.
I love Ed Sheeran. He's so, so talented. And people are always surprised when he turns up with supermodels. He's friends with all the Victoria. They go, oh, look at him. He doesn't know what to do. He knows exactly what to do.
Exactly what he's up to, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And fair play to him as well.
Yeah, exactly. He deserves it.
Can I ask you about another thing that you're in? But it sounds a bit weird when I say it. There's a new series coming called Your Face or Mine.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Carr again.
Yes.
I think Jimmy Carr's face or yours, I'd rather yours.
Oh, I don't know.
You love Jimmy, don't you? You and Jimmy go way back.
I really love him.
Can you tell me about Jimmy's house? Or is that... breaking privacy. Would you be upset about that?
I mean, I'll probably tell you some things about Jimmy's house.
He's got an amazing house, right? He's quite famous amongst the people in comedy, isn't he? He's got an incredible house.
I love Jimmy's house. And he has dogs there.
Yeah.
And a lot of nice vegan food and Starbucks.
Sounds rubbish to me.
I love Jimmy. And he's so funny. And he did Your Face or Mine. Yeah. It was already a hit on Channel 4 years ago. And now it's come back for Comedy Central. And it's sort of really... shallow, sort of the Tinder vibe of just swiping left on someone. We have couples come in and they both have these ideas of themselves being really hot and they have to decide who's hotter. So it's fun because it's just a laugh, and they're into it. They want to win some money. And for once, I get to be the nice guy.
Oh, you're not. I was going to say, do you not play? I don't know why I'm surprised by that, but I thought you could be the acerbic, cutting, tough Canadian comedian. But I mean, you're the nice guy.
I'm a little bit, but next to Jimmy, he's like the roast master of Comedy Central. Like, yeah, I'm definitely the nice guy.
And where can we see that?
That's on Comedy Central, starting, I believe, in the spring, early summer. We're just filming it now.
What else
so if
plans?
You are a couple and you want to win some money and you think you're hotter than your boyfriend, please come on.
Can I ask you a personal question?
Yeah.
Have you got a fella at the moment?
No.
Oh, would you like to find one?
Well, how?
You could do an audition right now. What are you looking for?
Oh my gosh, what am I looking for? Just someone, oh my gosh. Like, my standard is low. I sort of had a boyfriend. Well, I definitely had a boyfriend.
Sort of had a boyfriend. He'd be delighted to hear that.
Yeah. And then he moved away. Oh. So there was only, it was just like a long distance thing, but I still really love him. So if I was dating someone else, I would just be going through the motions and thinking about someone else. So if they were all right with that.
Right.
And I don't want anyone on camera, and I don't want anyone who is younger than me. I have more don'ts than do's. Basically, I don't need anything, so I think a man would be hard-pressed to come up with something that I need.
What about Lambo? Sorry. Really sorry. I take it back. Dr. Raj. What about Dr. Raj?
I would love to date Dr. Raj.
Dr. Raj, would you?
Yeah, I loved him. Dr. Raj.
Catherine, best of luck. How do you Get So Rich is on the telly right now. Every Monday night, you can see it on Channel 4. And if you miss any of them, you can see them on 4 On Demand. You're brilliant in it. It's a great show. Best of luck with it.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
It's time now for domestic riders. Every time I have somebody famous or a band or a singer on the show, I ask them what they have on their rider backstage. Lord was on the show last week. She is a superstar and got a bright future ahead. And she'd been around for about 4 or 5 years, sold quite a lot of albums, it has to be said. So I wondered if there was any development on her rider from when she was a 16-year-old. I asked her what she demanded backstage.
I have one of the most boring riders that exists. It's a lot of hummus, fresh fruit because I can't drink in a lot of places, and I don't drink a lot, like, on tour anyway.
Because you're too young.
I'm not too young in the UK, but I am too young in America.
Yeah.
But also, I just think the thought of, like, having a beer, like, backstage is, like, I'm like, oh, no, I'm at work, you know, stuff to do. My friend actually has whole coconuts and a machete on his rider.
Oh, super.
Coconut water. And so I was like, maybe I need coconuts and a machete on my ride next time.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio X.
Now it's time for a bit of Slash Gordon. If you're new to the show, let me explain. I used to work in newspapers, and it was always my plan to write a book about the most famous people I bumped into in urinals. There are quite a few over the years, and the plan is to keep the book going. So if it was one famous person, like Sean Connery, for instance, who was the most famous person he stood behind? And my plan is to complete the circle. I had the brilliant comedian Russell Howard on the show the other week. I played a little bit of this out yesterday on Smart on Sunday, but if you missed that, I thought it was a bit of fun to play again tonight. You can't get enough of Star Wars-based toilet stories on the evening show. So this is Russell Howard and me asking him all about his awkward, famous urinal encounters. Russell, I ask most comedians and artists who come in,
yes,
about the most famous person they've stood beside at a urinal.
Okay.
Now feel free to embellish this as much as you like as a comedian and have artistic license.
Okay, well this is the absolute truth. I once urinated next to Darth Maul.
Oh.
Which was intimidating.
Yes, in character.
It was like this guy, it was the first day it came out. I don't know if it was the actual Darth Maul, but the makeup was perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
And he kind of stared at me as I was trying to go. And it was that, you know, that dun 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 dun. Like, it was absolutely terrifying.
And it affected your stream.
It really did, yeah. It's very difficult to wait next to a Sith Lord.
And of course, he's got the double-ended lightsaber, hasn't he?
Exactly.
That wasn't presented at the time. That's Bristolian comedian Russell Howard. He's about to do 10 nights back-to-back at the Royal Albert Hall, breaking Frank Sinatra's record.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio X.
That was the Evening Show podcast from Radio X. I'm Gordon Smart. I really hope you enjoyed that. All the nonsense with me, producer Vin, and all the guests who come through the revolving door here in the studio. If you enjoyed that, make sure you leave a review and tell all your friends about the Evening Show podcast. Thank you very much. I'll be back with another one next week.
Radio X. Get into the music.